Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this is the third time in just over a year that my sermon prep has been interrupted by political violence in the headlines. Last summer, it was Butler, Pennsylvania. Then just a few months ago, it was the murders of Melissa Hortman and her husband and the wounding of John Hoffman and his wife, which happened right here in Minnesota. And now this past week with the murder of Charlie Kirk. These interruptions of political violence, they reinforce my conviction that the Spirit is leading our community to dig into the New Testament book of Revelation for our fall teaching series. So why Revelation? Is it because I've crunched the numbers and I figured out the date of the end of the world? No, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Is it because I am going to reveal which public figure is the Antichrist? No, not that either. I'm sorry. Is it because I believe that these events were predicted in the book of Revelation? Absolutely not. No, I have sensed that it is time for Roots to dig into Revelation because it is a letter and a prophecy written to churches at the end of the first century as an invitation, watch this, to lift up our eyes and to adjust our focus with Spirit-enabled vision to see beneath, beyond, and behind our circumstances, to glimpse reality's deeper dimensions. I like how one Jewish commentator put it, the point of apocalyptic literature is to reveal the heavenly world not as paradisal delight, but as a paradigmatic super reality. I love that phrase, super reality. John of Patmos was given a behind-the-scenes look at the power structures that sustained the brutal Roman Empire. But more importantly, he was shown how the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus had already begun to dismantle them, to birth a new world, a new heaven, and new earth. Revelation unveils this super reality that can only be seen with the eyes of faith. Revelation is not a crystal ball or an end times code book or calendar, and it is especially not a weapon to be wielded by Christian nationalists. Revelation is a vision of Jesus, a call to faithfulness, and a message of hope. In every era of the church and in every nation where followers of Jesus have endured oppressive regimes and authoritarian rulers, Revelation has provided vital wisdom and encouragement. That is why, unfortunately, in 2025, in the United States of America, Revelation speaks with fresh relevance. So throughout this series, we're going to dig into themes of this prophetic book. You can follow along in the series guide with those themes. You can also follow along with the notes on the website. We're going to have multiple speakers. In addition to myself, Pastor Oshita is also going to be preaching in this series. And as she already mentioned earlier, we're going to have a guest teacher that I'm really excited about, Dr. Grace Jisun Kim, who is a theologian whose work in decolonizing Christianity has been a gift to the global church, and her most recent book is titled How God Became White. I'm really excited about her preaching on Revelation in this series. But for today, we're going to start with the foundation, faithful witness. Revelation names Jesus with this title right at the beginning, and from that title flows all of the others. Jesus is the paragon of faithful witness, and to follow him is to be faithful witnesses too. This is crucial to see from the outset. Pay attention to this. Revelation is about the same Jesus that we have met in the Gospels. The same Jesus that the churches first heard proclaimed in the New Testament, in the Good News. And the same Jesus to whom you and I are united by the Spirit. The same Jesus. Way too often, Revelation has been twisted into a story of a new Jesus. First, there was the familiar Jesus of the Gospels. We know him well. Healer of the sick, feeder of the hungry, advocate of women and children, forgiver of sinners, comforter of the exploited, confronter of the powerful, and preacher of radical love. And then, supposedly, along comes another Jesus in the book of Revelation. A violent warlord, a wrathful destroyer, an avenging general. This is biblical and pastoral malpractice. There are not two Jesuses in the New Testament. There is not a nonviolent Jesus in the Gospels and a violent Jesus in Revelation. There is not a Jesus who restores and then a Jesus who destroys. There's only one Jesus, the faithful witness. Perhaps the most famous quote that encapsulates this two Jesus view comes from our old pal Mark Driscoll. Remember Mark Driscoll? He said at one point, in Revelation, Jesus is a pride fighter with a tattoo down his leg, a sword in his hand, and the commitment to make somebody bleed. That is the guy I can worship. I cannot worship the hippie diaper halo Christ because I cannot worship a guy I can beat up. Friends, I hope you know, that is egregiously bad theology. Jesus is not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He does not morph from Prince of Peace to Prince of Darkness. The worship and the exaltation of Jesus that we read in the book of Revelation is not in spite of his earthly ministry. It is precisely because of it. It is precisely because he lived as a faithful witness, a prophet, a servant, and a martyr that he is praised as Lord and King of Kings. The victorious one is the Lamb who was slain. And that is the heartbeat of Revelation. Jesus conquers not by violence, but by self-giving love. So how does John communicate this truth? John communicates this truth through a stunning fusion of genres. Revelation is at once an apocalypse, a prophecy, and an epistle. It unveils what is hidden with vivid imagery and graphic symbolism. It both zooms out to the heavens to reveal God's glory and zooms in to real communities of faith in specific context to encourage endurance. It is a literary masterpiece designed to ignite our imaginations, to summon our loyalty, and to evoke our worship. N.T. Wright, when he was a little boy, N.T. Wright is a world-famous New Testament scholar, theologian. When he was a little boy, he read through the New Testament. And when he got to Revelation, he felt like he had discovered a thunderstorm hidden within the New Testament. A book charged with energy, startling and impossible to ignore. Eugene Peterson called his commentary on Revelation reversed thunder, because in it are the prayers of God's people echoing back as heaven's answer to earth's cry. We skip those parts. We skip the beautiful prayers and laments of the saints under the altar. Together, these images remind us that Revelation is no tame book. It is a storm. It thunders. It is worship electrified. But we must not allow ourselves to think that Revelation is some sort of escape from history. Revelation was written to unmask Rome's idolatrous empire. And it continues to unmask every system of power that claims ultimate authority even today. Rome promised peace through violence, security through domination, and prosperity through exploitation. And today we hear that same music, but with new lyrics, don't we? Authoritarian impulses continue to take hold. Wannabe strongmen continue to demand loyalty. And political powers cloak themselves in religious garb, baptizing nationalism as gospel truth. We're told once again that violence will save us. But Revelation exposes those lies. It tears open the curtain and declares that Jesus the Messiah is Lord and Caesar is not. God's kingdom comes not by coercion, but by cruciform love. Christ is victorious not in seizing power through violence, but by pouring himself out in love. So what does it mean that Jesus is called faithful witness? It's important for us to know, I don't normally get into the Greek, but every once in a while, it's important for us to know some Greek. The Greek word for witness is martus. And I bet you can already guess where this is going. It is the word from which English derives its word martyr. Jesus is the ultimate martyr, the one whose faithful testimony cost him his life. But let's be clear why Jesus died. Jesus wasn't killed because he abused his power. He leveraged his privilege as an educated rabbi to call uneducated disciples, fishermen, common fishermen. He honored women and children. He even welcomed people who were excluded from society, like sex workers and tax collectors. He wasn't killed because he started a violent revolution. He explicitly taught nonviolence. He ordered Peter to put away his sword and healed even his enemy's wounds. They knew this. They understood this in the second century when Tertullian wrote, "Christ, in disarming Peter, has disarmed every soldier." He wasn't killed for merely preaching love or peace. Rome never crucified anybody for that. Jesus was crucified because he embodied a new way of being human that exposed and threatened the systems of power in his day. Rome thrived on violence, but Jesus practiced peace. The religious leaders of Judea wielded exclusion. Jesus embraced the marginalized. Herod hoarded wealth, and Jesus practiced abundance. Jesus didn't just preach love, he lived it. And that life undermined the very foundations of the empire. That is what it means to be a faithful witness. And that is why this week's headlines made my sermon prep very difficult. Because there was a lot of people, a lot of supporters and fans of Charlie Kirk calling him a martyr. But let me be clear. Martyrdom is not merely being killed while professing to be a Christian. That's not what martyrdom is. Martyrdom is bearing faithful witness to Jesus and his way. Charlie Kirk's entire platform was built on racism, misogyny, and xenophobia. These are utterly incompatible with the way of Jesus. He consistently demeaned women, immigrants, and racial minorities. He cloaked hatred in the name of faith. And these were not gaffes. These were not slips of the tongue. This was what his entire platform. By dishonoring those whom Jesus loved, Charlie Kirk dishonored Jesus. And yet, I also feel like we have to acknowledge that Charlie Kirk was a person made in the image of God. However obscured that image was by his prejudice and his hatred, it was still there. The image of God in all of us can be effaced, but it can't be erased. He was a son, he was a father, he was someone's husband, and his family is grieving. And because we have empathy, we empathize with them. We don't want to live in a country where people are murdered for their political views. Just as much as we don't want to live in a country where people are deported for their political views. So we don't celebrate Charlie Kirk's death, but we do lament his life, the energy that he devoted to domination rather than service. And that lament underscores why the title that Revelation gives Jesus matters so much to us. Jesus is the faithful witness, not to a country like nationalism, and not to fear or hatred, but to the expansive and inclusive, self-giving love of God. So that's why I want to make this invitation to you this week. Instead of dwelling on Charlie Kirk, like I've been doing for the last several days, I want you to dwell on a faithful witness. Who is that person in your life? I have dozens of them. And if you can't think of one personally, what about a saint? You know who I've been thinking about in preparation for this sermon? Saint Oscar Romero. Saint Oscar Romero was murdered while giving mass. And he was an advocate for the poor. He was hunted down by fascists because he stood with the poor. That's a martyr. Or think about those people in your own life that stood by you in hard times and showed you the love of Jesus, the self-giving, inclusive, expansive love of God. Those are faithful witnesses. And if anything Revelation teaches us to do, it's to remember them as reflections of the faithful witness, Jesus Christ. So, beloved, we need to know this morning that Revelation is not a book that gives us charts of the end times or coded figures or events. It gives us a vision of Jesus as the conquering Lamb of God, not by violence, but by love. And because he is the risen Lamb who was slain, he is Lord of all. The only questions remain for us are these. Will we bear witness to that Jesus? Will we embody his love in the world that is addicted to fear and domination? Will we tell the truth about God's kingdom in a time of lies? So many lies. Will we follow the Lamb by resisting empire? To follow the Lamb is to live a life so strange and beautiful that it unsettles the world's hate. And Revelation names Jesus the faithful witness and invites us to join him. This is our calling. This is our hope. This is our witness. Let's pray.